Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for those wonderful words that have just been read. Those words of truth, those words of hope, those words of a future. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that they will come and sit on us and be amongst us here this evening to encourage us and to inspire us, not just this Christmas, but for our lifetimes. Amen. Wow, I'm really so privileged to be speaking to you this evening. It's lovely to be asked by Niku to share with you. And if I'm honest, I feel a little bit fear and trembling in doing so as well. But one of the reasons I chose that passage tonight was because if we look a little bit earlier in verses 8 of Isaiah 58, it says, "The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard." And if you remember one thing tonight, remember this. We are not alone. God has our back. God loves us, and he has plans for us and a hope for us. So this evening, I'm going to ask, how does God see us? How does God see us? Well, firstly, I think it's about coming home. Coming home and what that looks like. Christmas is a time, isn't it, where we are bombarded with that wonderful picture of what it is to come home. I only looked the other day in our kitchen and there was something from John Lewis and Waitrose about comfort and joy and this amazing mince pie and this, you know, turkey, and it just looked like comfort and joy in a picture. There's adverts galore, etc. I could show some, but I'm not. But what does it mean for us to come home? Now, I'm mindful, actually, as I share that very statement, that for some of us here, sitting here, coming home is a place of anxiety, it's a place of fear. But then for some of us, it is also a place of belonging and a place of security. It can be a real paradox. I'd like to paint a picture this evening of coming home, if you wouldn't mind. I want you to think about Croydon. Yes, in leafy Richmond, I want you to think about Croydon. Croydon is my hometown. And whenever I drive to Croydon, I feel like I'm going home. As I'm in my car on the A323, over the Croydon flyover, spinning past Taverner House, that's not there anymore, actually, they've knocked it down. Spinning past the Fairfield Halls, heading out towards Bromley and Shirley and West Wickham. You get to a lovely little road called Birchley Way, and I hang a left down there, and I'm home. Coming home. It's about perspective. For you, that isn't coming home, is it? It's grubby Croydon, a place you wouldn't want to be. But for me, that's about coming home. So I want us to think about perspective this evening. Because this Christmas, through Jesus, God is longing for us all to belong with him and to come home. So, Lord, how do you see us? How do you see us this evening? I want to share another picture that I read this week, preparing for this talk. And it's about a father who has got his daughter with him on a work day. The problem is, his little daughter is on an inset day, and he doesn't have any time to be coping with this. So the father, in his busy schedule, is looking for something to do for his daughter. I want you to picture it. Some of us can imagine it right now. We've got the laptop, we've got distractions, there's lots to do and no time to do it. He comes up with a great idea. A puzzle. I'll give my daughter a puzzle. He jumps to the newspaper, he finds the Sunday supplement, and there's this great big two-page piece of the world map. He goes, "Oh, I'll get the scissors out, I'll cut that up and she can make that puzzle. That'll keep her busy for a bit." However, to his dismay, she comes back super, super quickly. He's so exasperated. "What has gone on?" And the little girl says this, "How are you able to finish so quickly?" And she says to her dad, "Oh, it was so easy. I put the man and the woman back together on the reverse of the page, and I fixed the world. I put the man and the woman back together, and I fixed the world. Friends, God wants to fix us, men and women, today in 2019, to fix our world. And he's not calling us to do that on our own. He's doing that through his work of his Holy Spirit. So don't be scared. He's not asking you to do that just with your gifts and abilities, but with the divine appointment that he has given you. God wants us to put our world back together. I didn't tell Niku this, but I'm going to talk a little bit about John 3:16, which we wonderfully had read this evening. And I'm going to share it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send Jesus, his Son, into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Friends, Jesus isn't about a pointing finger. He's not about you've got to live life this way. He's a rescuer. He's a redeemer. He's a rebuilder. He makes old things and he brings them new. So Jesus wants to bring us home. But not just like an insurance policy or an endowment at the end of our life that we rely on and say, yes, that's our insurance. We have eternal life. No. No, no, Jesus wants us to belong and have purpose this very day. So, let's turn to those words in Isaiah again, written over 700 years before Jesus' birth, in Isaiah 58. I hope I don't need my glasses because it's looking quite small, this print. Isaiah 58, verses 9 to 12. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do go away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing of finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and the night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always, and he will satisfy you with needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will rise up the old foundations. You will be called repairers of walls, restorers of streets with dwellings. I think there's three things that God is calling us to do as we hear those words this evening. Firstly, it is to love mercy and justice. Those first few verses in 9 and 10 about the oppressed, about the marginalized and those on the fringe. We are called not to forget them, but we are called to become advocates for them. And when we do, our world and their world will be transformed. Secondly, I believe we are being called today to take rest, yes, to stop, to rest and have comfort in our busy lives. A bit like that father looking after his daughter. We should be spending time with those that we love. And verses 11 talks about guiding. Guiding when it's hard, in a sun-scorched time. However, we will be satisfied. We'll be satisfied with water that does not fail. Water that hydrates and refreshes us for our life together. And then finally, those wonderful words in verse 12. You will be called the repairer of broken walls. Jesus will rebuild our broken lives. And when we ask him into our life, It is his privilege and pleasure to do so. And I'd love to challenge you this Christmas, as we retell and remember the first Christmas story all those years ago, let us take time to look at the family that God trusted Jesus to nurture and to belong to. As we've heard already this evening, it was not a world power. It was not a president. It was not a king. Caesar Augusta may well have propelled Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. And looking back, it's clear that he was not the mastermind behind that. He was not calling the shots, but it was God working through him. Through him, so that God could make a way for Christmas for them and for us. Using a humble carpenter, friends, a humble carpenter and a teenage mum. This story unfolds and shows us that God's plans and purposes for us all are to give everyone a hope and a future for today and tomorrow. So, as we prepare to welcome Jesus again at Christmas, let us love mercy. Let us love justice. Let us be people who bring comfort. But above all, let us be people who welcome the King of Kings to be the repairer of walls in our lives. And as we welcome Jesus in to repair our brokenness and our mess, let us know that he then does that for the world. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you so much for your message this evening of hope and of goodness. And I want to ask your help for all of us to seek wise counsel as we live and work and go about our everyday lives. Lord, help us to encourage the young and those that are on the fringe of society, the outcast, the forgotten. Let us know that we stand up for them because you stand up for us first. And Father, finally, help us live in the truth that comes from your very light, Jesus, to know that God has done for us what we could never do. Thank you, Jesus. And we welcome you again this Christmas time. Amen.